Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
Jesus' mighty name. Kaishka bayanda kokori mandaski li ashki baboska. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I give honor to God. I honor Marquise in the heads of this house. I honor my wife. She's in the back. Thank you for praying me through, baby. All the fellow ministers in the building, Jamie and bro, this mic is still hot. I don't know if that was velvet or you, but I didn't really even need to get up here, because the word that God gave you was solid, it was sound. But I've been called to be here, so we're going to pass the torch, and that's how this generation is. Amen. Every joint shall supply. I just wanted to come and give you guys a word that the Lord has given me to share. I kind of had a hard time, real talk, because I didn't know what I was invited to. And give me a 10-minute cue, please. Yep. I didn't know what I was invited to. So sometimes if you're going to go minister, I've ministered at the juvenile. I know that dynamic. So I know what to study for, or whatever God will give me. Ministering to adults is a different dynamic. Ministering to the unsaved. So I got the flyers based upon freedom, deliverance, and I didn't know who was going to show up. Amen. From the church to the saved, to the highly anointed, to those that are still struggling, trying to figure it out. I didn't know who God's going to have me to minister to. So I kind of struggled with that. But as they're spending time with the Lord, the word is still the same. At the end of the day, the word is the same. And God has a way of filtering everybody in it to connect with what he needs to do or what they need in that time. The Bible talks about the table of the Lord is spread. So even if you're a vegan, there's some cabbage for you. Amen. And whatever it is that your appetite is, the table of the Lord is spread. You might just want to go straight to the desserts, but God's going to feed you with something. Even if you just left from the hip hop and that blessed you and that encouraged you, God has fed you with something. So let's get into it. Praise God. If I am hired, what are my wages? Let's go to the definition of wages. And let's look at that. Hallelujah. It says wage, a payment usually of money for labor or services, usually according to contract and on an hourly or daily or piece of paper basis. Amen. We know what wages are. So let's go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 20. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is something that when Jesus came, he began to teach the kingdom of God. And when Jesus came, he had to recalibrate the mindset of what people understood and what people seen as God. He came with a different mindset, teaching what the kingdom of God was. People didn't know really what this kingdom was. There was an old system that was by the laws of Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That old system was still in place. So when Jesus came, he wasn't really understood. So when he told people about the kingdom, he had to teach them in what we call parables, right? And sometimes the parables would be a reflection on what the heart of God was in a way that painted a picture in life. And that picture would illustrate what the Father was saying, how deep God is, how complicated God is, how complex the mind of God is. The parable would cause you to connect the dots. Amen. And it was simple. The kingdom. Let's look up the definition of kingdom real quick. So before we get into the kingdom, let's see what the definition. Kingdom, a set of protocol or codes of operations within a specific territory, influence, jurisdiction, or domain. So when we're talking about the kingdom, you can look at the kingdom that Alexander the Great operated in. It's a different kind of kingdom. The kingdom, there's an animal kingdom, right? So within the animal kingdom, you even have sub-kingdoms of the animal kingdom, where there's a kingdom of insects, and in their hierarchy, and in their jurisdiction, in their domain, there's the queen bee, and everybody surrounds it. That's the protocol of that kingdom. Then there's the animal world, there's the fish world, then there's the kingdom of what you would call what we have in America. It's a form of a kingdom because there's territories, influence, jurisdictions, and domains that are set by a protocol. So the kingdom that Obama functions in is a different kingdom that maybe Pharaoh would have functioned in. Two kings, presidents and kings, two different legislations, two different kingdoms, two different protocols. The protocol over here, which we would say America, should be governed by the Constitution. Amen? But now let's look at the kingdom of God. The kingdom, the protocol, the code, the operations within a specific territory, the influence, the jurisdiction, and the domain of God. But it was prayed, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So with the, so what we have to have, or what we need to walk in, is first to surrender, right?
Yes.
All right, arrest me. I'm a part of the kingdom. Read you your Miranda rights, your kingdom rights, right? And be a part of this kingdom. And so let's look at this. Let's look at this scripture. Now, this is Jesus is trying to give a clear understanding of what his Father's kingdom is about. And he's talking to people that are operating either in the Judea kingdom or the Roman civilization in that era. Right? You following me where we are?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. I'm going to read it here. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. We all know what a vineyard is, right? The place where grapes grow. And they harvest the vineyard to make wine, to make juice, okay? So the master came, and it was harvest time, and so he hired laborers to come and pick the grapes. Amen? Verse 2. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. A denarius is a silver coin that biblically it's worth a day's wage. It's worth a day's hire. So nowadays, if you were to work a day, let's just say your minimum wage, state of Washington is $9.19 an hour minimum wage. So they work for about $72 a day, basically. So they agreed to go into the vineyard and I will pay you a denarius, which is about 72. Now, if they decided that value was a little bit more of that currency, just to say anywhere between $75 and $100 a day. Amen? So, moving forward. And he went about in the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give to you. So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here all day? Let's pause right here. Here's what's going on. So you ever been to Lowe's and you got those a whole bunch of people just waiting outside with shovels? And they got their little the measuring sticks, and they got saws, and they just look like they're ready to work. Those guys are there because if you're just a working mom and you don't know nothing about carpentry, you can go buy some paint and be like, I'll hire you. Come to the house. You know, I trust you. Come to the house and help me move this wood out so we can get it done. And they're waiting to be hired. Some of them don't have their immigration stuff. Some of them don't have no employment, so they're waiting to be hired. And this is what this is what this landowner did. He went into the marketplace on the third hour, on the sixth hour, on the ninth hour, and even on the 11th hour. And he said, whatever you do for that day, I will give you a denarii. I will give you a denarius. I'll give you $100 for that day's work. Come and help me get this vineyard. And when he got to verse 6, and about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. And he said, why have you been standing here all day? So 11th hour translates into 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. So it's 5 o'clock. So, you know, a lot of those people stand outside of Lowe's, they're like, it's 5 o'clock. Ain't nobody finna hire me. It's five. And if nobody picked me up to mow their lawn by now, I'm not getting. So they're just idle. They're just standing in the marketplace, idle. So the landowner comes and he's saying, What are you guys just standing here for? And they're like, what do you think? I'm about to go home. Ain't nobody gonna hire me. Right? Watch what God is saying. Watch what God is. Don't miss it prophetically. And they said to him, verse 7, because no one has hired us, he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. Ladies and gentlemen, I come to announce to you that wherever you are in the workplace, you are hired. There's a job opportunity. No matter what level of life you're in, no matter what stage of life, whatever your profession is, the Lord is saying that you too can be hired. It don't matter how old you are, because these guys were out at the 11th hour. And if you look prophetically, what the 11th hour represents is the end times. The 11th hour is the last hour before the new day. And without getting too deep, that is a prophetic example of this generation. It's the 11th hour. The day is, time is ticking. God is saying, come labor in my field. I'll put you to work. No matter how old you are, no matter what your experience is, come to me and I have work that needs to be done. The harvest is ready. There's still more grapes. Why did I come back at 5 o'clock and try to get more people? Because there's still more souls. There's still more work to be done. And I don't want my fruit to die on the vine. So I will take your gift to braid hair and I'll bring it into my vineyard. I will take your gift to build carpentry and use that in my vineyard. I will use your political power and use it to bring more grapes, to bring more souls, to harvest more. Does that make sense? That's what the Lord is saying in this hour. Now let's take a look at it. A lot of people, they feel almost insignificant to be used by God because they don't see themselves behind the pulpit. They don't really see themselves as that kind of person. So they honor the ministers, they honor the men of God, but they kind of feel like that's for them, you know? This word right here is removing all limitation off of what God wants to do because time is short. God is into souls. God, we might be into shoes. We might be into family. We might be into music. But God is into souls. And he says, all souls belong to me. And there's something about the soul. Once a soul comes into existence, that soul never dies. Whether it's in the presence or whether it's in eternal damnation, that soul will always live. That's why God is so hard on abortion. Because he's not looking at the life that is existing and accomplishing and getting accolades. He's looking at the life as a soul that never got a chance to go to the harvest. Amen? a lot of times in this generation, our youth, they feel the call and they feel them tugging, but they haven't seen any examples of what, how can God use me? It's 5 o'clock. What's God gonna do with me? I already seen the cats early. That makes sense. Yeah, you got hired at 11. Okay, go ahead and get your little $100. That makes sense. But for you to mess with me, that don't even make sense. What are you going to do with me? My criminal history. What are you going to do with me? How I be messing up and blowing it. What can you really do with me? I can't sing like Chamian. What are you going to do with me? I didn't go to school. I went to high school, but I went to school high. What are you going to do with me? Like, that don't even make sense. They came, and they said, because no one has hired us. And the father is saying, what are y'all doing? What are you doing with yourself? And they're like, ain't nobody hired us. So I'm thugging. I'm kicking it. I got a 4-year plan in college. I'm finna do me. Nobody's hired me. I don't see how I fit in this equation to be a minister. All right. Does that make sense? Let's look at Luke chapter 14, verse 16 and 24. Let's take a look at that. Here's another parable. This is Jesus trying to convey the mind of God, the mind of the eternal God. He's trying to pull down out of divinity into our nature so we can get it. So he's trying to, so here's what he says. He says, and a certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things now are ready. But they all with one accord begin to make excuses. So this nobleman or this king had a banquet. And this is recorded also in Mark as well. But just for the sake of this scripture, this certain man was a influential, he might have been a king or something like that. And he wanted to celebrate. And it actually was a wedding feast. And the Luke account doesn't break it down like that. But just for a backdrop. And he said, come, for all things are now already. The food is ready. Everything is ready. So I'm going to send my servant to come invite people to come eat with me. Nobody with money wants to just eat by themselves, right? You don't want to just eat by yourself. You want to show off your china, show off your chairs, sit back, relax, put your feet up. My wife can cook, and if she doesn't get it, my servant's going to do it, or my butler. Come, let's eat. Come. And so what he did, he said, for all things are ready. But they all with one accord begin to make excuses. The first said, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go see it. And the next, I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them, and I asked to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. He came back and said, the governor said this, the state official said that, oh boy just got married, the farmer got to go take care of his oxen, and he had to go back and report that, right? Thank you. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes and the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. It's almost like I tried to get the upper class, but they were too busy for me. So now, because the food is getting cold, let's just go get everybody. The lame, the blind. Matter of fact, What does that represent? Those that really have a heart, those that have disabilities, those that aren't privileged. Just go get everybody. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
And then he said, bring them the streets, the lanes, the city, bring the poor, the lame, the maimed, and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done. As you have commanded, still there is room. So he wouldn't did that. And there's still room. Then the master said to the servant, go out to the highways, the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. Hallelujah. For I said to you that none of those men who are invited shall taste of my supper. Now, you know, this is God talking. This is God. God has something prepared for us. And now the game has changed. It's no longer for the labor, the layman, and the and I thank God for the fivefold ministry. It's no longer going to be the person always in the suit and tie. It's no longer going to be the typical church brother or the typical church sister. They have an opportunity to come, and they're coming. But there's a God wants, there's still room. There's still room. And so God is making a clarion call, because he's serious about souls. He don't care what your status is. He needs you at the table. Because when you come to the table of the Lord, you can talk with him. And he can tell you, you're blind, I got a plan for that. You're maimed, your heart is broke, I got a plan for that. Go send the people out and go get the maimed, those that have been marred and scarred and abused. Bring them to my table. Reject it. Exactly. I got a word for you. Amen. So the game is changing now, because what God is going to do is, once he gets them at the table, they're not going to just sit there and eat. Once they get up from the table, God's going to give them work to do. Once they get up from the table, I was blind, but now I see. Let me go tell somebody else. Amen. So what we're entering into is a time where the influence of God is invading the system of the world. So we have seven major, what we call the seven mountains of influence, the seven mountains of influence that shape culture, right? So you have arts, business, education, family, government, media, and religion. Of course, religion, right? Yeah. Right? Well, what God is doing is he's hiring people to move into these areas of society. That's why I said everybody is hired. They just need to know what their wage is. That's why I said there's employment opportunities. Amen?
Amen?
Let's talk about this a little bit. So, the arts, we just seen a great example of the arts. God was the creator of music first. We're taking the devil's music. No, God created music. The enemy perverted music. It was never from the devil anyway. He was kicked out of heaven because he was the worshiper, the chief worshiper of the Father. And he exalted himself above the Most High God and got cast down like lightning. Now he's trying to pollute his stuff to cause the ears of the musicians to use their gift to turn people away from God. But since everybody's hired, people like Lavelle can come up here and use their gift for God. Amen. So there's the arts. There's the entertainment world. All of these, this is a mountain of influence. How many people, Chamian was talking about, you go to the football game and give it up, but are you in the house of the Lord? It's very, very, this entertainment industry is very, very influential.
Yes.
The Beyonce could get up there and make a statement. And now you got all kind of people in the club talking about, you better put a ring on it. You know? Very influential. I remember, how am I doing on time? What I got about? Okay. I remember when I was, he mentioned about the boxing. And even when I came to Christ, I considered, Lord, are you calling me into the boxing? I was feeling a tug for music, and I was feeling a tug for boxing. And kind of two different lifestyles a little bit, because of the regiment of the physical regiment. But with the music, there was a lot of fasting and stuff. It was like a little different because you're dealing with principalities and strongholds. So our fasting life, you know, I would be hard to do 90 crunches a day and run and all that, and, you know, and keep your weight as a, you know, as a Walter weight and be fasting all the time, you know. So I had to, Lord, what are you saying? I feel a tug. I have a desire for both of these. And I even seen in the realm of boxing that because of a prize fighter, they can use their money and it goes a long way. You guys seen the last Mayweather fight? In the beginning when Showtime was kind of doing it, did you guys see him just giving away money? Did you see that? Crazy. It was like a food bank line. He's just giving away money. So if I was in that influence, if I was under in that arena, when I boxed, I wouldn't just be giving away money. I would be sowing into churches. I would be helping to buy that pastor that has to pay to fly to Ghana to go to do a crusade. No, here's the money. Here's your own money. Here's your private jet. Let the Lord release you to save souls. Amen. Let's go rebuild this community center and put a prayer room in the back. And let's get. Man, it's so much. I'm so full of what we could do with finances in the kingdom. It just doesn't stop. Amen. Let's get our own movie theater. So when we'll have a contract that when independent film is dropped, you don't only have to get it on DVD. Let's buy the movie theater, make our own movie theater, and promote it the right way. So all the churches and all the people that want to see what God is doing on film can go and enjoy in excellence. Amen? There's so much you can do with finances. But that was my little vision of what I would have did with my prize fighting money. That's only one area. I never said I was going to get behind the pulpit. I never said I was going to hold a church conference, a revival. But that would have been how the Lord would chose to use me. The business area, that's another mountain of influence. The business world, they need to see Christ. They need to see Christ. It was told to me this, preach the gospel at all times. Use words when necessary. Right? Your life is a lifestyle. Your walk is read by men. So we need people in the business community. Well, God, yeah, he's my partner. We need people in the business community that have the Spirit of God on them so that the business can function in the protocol or the principles of God. Yes. Amen? We need to infiltrate that world. That's not separate from God. Sports aren't separate from God. Entertainment ain't separate from God. It's what you do with the gifting that God has given you. If God has given you an intellect to count, to understand money, to visionize, to visually make capitalizations or business transactions or inventions, use that for the glory of God. There's the area of education. That's another strong mountain of influence, education, all the way from low learning to higher learning. Because I don't want someone to be teaching my kid that he came from a monkey. I don't want that influence of education being downloaded into him as if that's the truth. We need to infiltrate the education system. Amen? My boy Chamian was telling me he infiltrated 24-hour fitness. He started having prayer gatherings before they worked out. And it was two people, three people. Then after a while, people were coming in holding hands that weren't really walking with God but held hands in reverence and bowed their head because they knew the Spirit was doing something. Amen? He infiltrated that mountain. Family. That's huge. Family, imagine this. Imagine your son, your daughter's 5, 6 years old. I'm not bashing anybody's sexual gender, but if all they see is two men holding hands all the time, two men holding hands all the time, two ladies kissing, if that's all they see as they grow up, it's going to influence them as to what society is. Yes. Does that make sense? The family mountain is huge. So we have to reclaim the family, the traditional values of what God intended family to be. God is hiring everybody. The government, the policymakers, the president, we need the Spirit of God in that on that mountain because what the president decides trickles down to everybody. Amen? And if you just, let's just go there. What if What if, you know how the government have some access to controlling food and stuff like that? Well, you can take away the oil, but if you control the food, it's a heavy thought. Some of the diabolical, some of the things that are going on within the government, if the Christians don't infiltrate that and have an influence in that realm, there's a lot of things that we can fall victim to, but God. Amen? So that's, we just got to think about that. The president has so much on his plate. He needs somebody spirit-filled. Maybe you're not a great orator like the president. Maybe that's not your literal office, but he needs someone he can just go to and be like, what is the Lord saying? The right wing is saying this. The left wing is saying this. CNN is screaming that. What is the Lord saying? Because whatever I do is going to affect the people. Is there anyone around his cabinet that can give him counsel? That has the spirit of the living God that knows what's going to happen? We need to infiltrate government. Media, that's another mountain. That's another mountain. The newspapers, the magazines, online, they control the news that we hear. That's another mountain. They can create, we could have a television show called Good News, and it's highlighting what God is doing. You know what I'm talking about? We can have a good news, and it's just testimony after testimony, because God is moving. But a lot of people are bombarded with bad news, bad news, bad news. So, arts, business, education, family, government, media, and religion. God is expanding because we're in the last hour. Because we are in the last hour, there's no more excuses. There's no more, God is saying, do what you do, submit your gift, I will raise you back up and use it for me. Now, I need to clear the air. Let's say I got 5, 6, 7 minutes left. Let's not think that just because you serve God, you're going to be broke. Mm-hmm. Let's not think that just because you are holy, you are tongue-talking, you have power, you are anointed, that you have to be broke.
That's right.
It's not true. It's not the kingdom. Finances push things in the kingdom. And it's not my opinion. If we go from the beginning and you look at Abraham, Abraham had so much that he gave a portion to it to Lot. He had cattle on top of cattle. Abraham was a wealthy man. We bump up a little closer. We bump up and we look at Joseph. Joseph was second in command over all of Egypt. So when Joseph made an announcement, the people listened, and he had control over the goods, the surplus. They came to Joseph, very wealthy, but very anointed. God put him there because of his obedience to God. God exalted him. Amen. Abraham obeyed God. Therefore, his obedience was counted as righteousness, and therefore he was a friend of God. These are anointed millionaires. Anointed millionaires. Let's look at your boy Solomon. Anointed millionaire. They said that the Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon through the grapevine. He created a buzz. She had to come from her land. And when she got there, it was more than what she heard. You know how rumors by the time I tell you about something, it's way over here and it blow out of proportion. Well, that blown out of proportion, God was bigger than that. The Bible says it. She got there and was amazed at the wealth that the Lord had given. Later on in life, Solomon got off track. But from the jump, he said, you will walk in the statutes of my servant David. And God blessed him. He was very wise. He wrote the books. He wrote the Ecclesiastes. He wrote the Songs of Solomon. He was in most of all the Proverbs. God was with that man, with his finances. And it's not only Old Testament. When you look in the New Testament, when we kind of look at the book of Acts and you look at the Apostle Paul and them, they had a different mandate. But the Bible says that the apostles sold their homes and they sold everything, laid it at the apostles' feet, and they had all things in common. What does that mean? It means that we were in such unity, we don't care about money. We got money, but we're here to save souls. We got money, but we're here to introduce you to Jesus. We already sold the houses. We sold the land. We don't need that. Now we have enough money to travel with. We got bread. It's nothing. Bread isn't our God. God is our God. God has given us bread to push the ministry. Amen? So, don't let the devil lie to you and make you feel like if I trade in all of this, okay, I'll obey God and my standard of living is lower. That is not true. Because God wants you to represent him in his fullness. And I believe that a lot of us that have been in the field for a while, God is going to increase the labor of our hands, but he's going to increase the sphere of influence through finances. I believe that for you, bro. I believe that for you, bro. There's some people that's been laboring for a while, trying to make bills pay, trying to keep up, trying to be the best husband they can, trying to keep up on the car note, trying to feed my babies. But Lord, I'm trusting you. God is about to shift some things. In the hands of the believer. God is about to shift some things. Are you hearing me? In the hands of those that he can trust with wealth. Because you already know. You said it a million times. Man, if I had the money, I would have already paid her rent. I would have bought her the car. You've already said that. So. Now let me show you a scripture. I know my time is winding down. Yep. Let me show you a scripture. This is a promise from God. Let's look at that. Let's look at Luke 18. You guys doing okay tonight?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's look at Luke 18 and verse 24. And when Jesus saw, he became very sorrowful and said, now look, this is where you guys heard the story of the young rich ruler. So this is the end of their conversation. And Jesus looked at him and he was very sorrowful because Jesus told him to sell everything he has and come follow me. So he looked at him and he couldn't. The order was too tall. He said, I obey my parents. I keep the laws of Moses. I do this. And he said, okay, you've done well. Now for your next blessing, sell everything that you own and come follow me. He couldn't handle it. He was too attached to the money. It wasn't that he wasn't supposed to have money, but God found that thing in his heart that I'm not going to allow you to allow your finances to rule you. I am your master. So sell. I see that vice. There's a vice in you that you're connected to for your substance. So if you sell that, you qualify to follow me, right? So it wasn't the money. Let's not get it twisted. It was the root of his heart. Because watch this. And then he says, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because somehow the rich man has found his security already. Sometimes it takes God to break you a little bit to even realize that I need a savior. Sometimes I got too much. Sometimes I'm too strong. I'm too strong. I don't need God right now. I got this. I got too much. I'm not even thinking about God because I'm too busy buying stuff. I'm too busy spending stuff. I done left God way back there. It's hard for a rich man to serve God. It's as hard as it is for a big old camel to get through the eye of a needle. Let's just say that's impossible. Let's just say that's impossible. You can be rich in wisdom. You're too smart for God. I got so many degrees. I got 10 thermometers. I'm too brilliant for God. I got too much swag for God. That's what's going on right now. And it's so hard for those people to be humble, to realize I am in need of a savior. And that's what that scripture is talking about. That's why, you know, you have to lay that stuff down. But watch this, though. Here's my point. 26. It says, and those who heard it said, then who can be saved? But he said, the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. And Peter said, well, see, we've left all to follow you. So he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left their house, parents, brothers, wife, children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the in age to come.
Yes.
It's not this mentality, oh, I'm working so hard, I got my riches in my mansion in heaven.
That's right.
Period. That's not it.
No.
Now, if you wanna, if that's your philosophy, then I'll see you at your mansion in heaven. I'm not gonna knock that. But what God is saying in this hour, that everything you traded in, you forsake the things that are close to you. My mama, my brother, my sister, my land to follow Christ. God remembers that. I forsaked it all. Everything that was important to me, everything that was dear to me, everything that was familiar to me, everything that was close to me. The Bible says, if you forsake that, I will give it back to you 100-fold in this lifetime and in eternity. That's how God is. So we have to activate the covenant of what he has said so that we can be qualifiers of that kind of blessing. Amen. And that's what I'm, that's why I'm telling you guys, because I know you guys. You guys have been in the field and you guys have been doing everything by faith. I tell you again, bro, there's going to come a time where you're not going to have to worry about the project based upon the budget. You're just going to dream. And God's going to supply everything you need based upon the dream, not upon the budget. I hear the Lord saying that. Hallelujah. Because your dream is connected to his dream. Amen. Amen. So this is the hour that we're in. This is the hour that we're in. This is the reason why God is going to everyone and saying, come work for me. Come, let me fill you with my spirit. I need to send you back out. Okay, so you work for Google. Let me fill you with my spirit so that you can go back and infect your environment with my spirit. Therefore, the media that's being released might be a little different after a while. Amen? So what does this have to do with deliverance? What does this have to do with deliverance? What does it have to do with freedom? The deliverance piece is that we need to be delivered from the mindset of the old. We need to be delivered from any limitations that has put God in a box. We need to be delivered from a slave mentality. We need to be delivered from a, it's always going to be hard, or if I give myself over to God, he doesn't understand me. He doesn't know what I like. Or if I give myself totally 100% to God, it's too much of a gamble. We need to be delivered from that.
Yes.
God is good. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
So that's a revelation that is strong in me. That is something that God wants to do. That is something that God is going to do. We all have employment opportunities in the kingdom of God, and every joint supplies. Every joint supplies. Well, you might meet somebody and just bring them on to church. That's the pastor's job. But when they leave from church, what about a career being saved, making animation for cartoons? There's so much to do for the Lord. Amen? Amen. So what I want to do now is just, if anybody, let's say this, and this is in closing. We're doing good, right? About 4 minutes, 5 minutes left? Okay. Let's go back to the first scripture in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, and I'm going to finish reading from 8. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to a steward, call all the laborers and give them their wages, beginning from the last to the first. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the heat of the day. That makes sense, right? That makes sense. I got hired at 5 and got off at 6, and you gave me the same 75. This dude's been working since the 3rd hour all day in the hot sun, mowing grass, picking grapes, crushing grapes, making grape juice, making wine, making Welch's grape jelly the whole time, and he gets in the line and you give him the same 75? That's what God is saying. And it's fair. Now watch this. It's fair because that's what God wants to do. Who's going to argue with God? He says, I hate one and I exalt the other. Jacob I love, Esau I hate it. This is God. I hardened Pharaoh's heart to bring my honor for Israel. This is God. Who's going to argue with the boss? Watch this. He said this. He said, that's what they went through. And then he says, but he answered one of those complainers, right? He answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Do you not agree with me for the denarius? Was that not the agreement? Yeah. Everybody had an agreement when they came. Yeah. Don't worry about what you're doing. You're 3 o'clock, a day's wage, bow. 6 o'clock, a day's wage, bow. 9 o'clock, a day's wage, bow. 11th hour, 5 o'clock, day's wage? Heck yeah. You're hired. Let's go. Huh? He made an agreement with everybody. What am I trying to say, church? What am I trying to say? Listen what the Father says. This is God talking. Look at 14. Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to the last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I'm just good? You can't argue with the truth. You cannot argue with the truth. Take what I give you and go your way. Or is your eye evil because I'm just good? God is saying, I have chosen to make the last first. And that's what I've chosen to do. This is the last generation, ladies and gentlemen. We are the last generation. We are the last leg of a 4-man relay run. I got the, this is it. It's just me and who passed the baton from Moses, David, Apostle Paul. This is it. We don't have much time. And God has opened up the archives and saying, bring your talents, bring your gifts. I'm moving into, I want to infect and influence the community, the mountains, and the influence and the systems of this world, because my son is coming. I need those in the business community. I need those in the families. I need those in the arena of sports. I need all of them. Amen? Amen. Last thing is the key. Look at 13. And this is what highlight. This is what the Holy Spirit just bow. He opened me up to it. 2013. What is the year? This is the hour of hire. Watch this. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the denarius? What is the agreement? What is the covenant? In 2013, you have to make a covenant with God. And if you do your part, he's faithful to do his part. And so God is always going to go back to the covenant. He's not moving on emotions. He's not up one day, down one day. I'm broke. I can't bless you the way I want you. No. He's not going to, oh, I don't love you like I used to love you. He's operated and moved by covenant. So that's the word for this hour. What is the covenant? If you don't have a covenant with God, it's time to say, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me. That's the first step. And if you do have a covenant with God and some things I'm talking to you is moving and stirring you up in your spirit, begin to search out, what are the benefits of my salvation? Lord, give me the power to move in the various arenas and affect my workplace. I'm not just saved at the church. I want that your glory to infiltrate. Begin to activate the covenant. Amen. 2013, he said, but I answered them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me? For the denarius, what is the agreement? Huh? Amen. Amen. Praise God. What I just want to do now, I guess, I'll just submit this to you. If anybody doesn't know the Lord and needs to get an agreement, I will pray for you, and we can pray together. And then that's step number one to this beautiful journey with God. Amen. And if anybody else needs deliverance in their mind as far as I want to do something for the Father. I want to do something for the Lord. I want to make my life count, but I'm kind of dealing with some obstacles. I feel like God is saying that you can bring him into those obstacles. As long as it's holy, you can do all things in Christ, but you have to have a holy and integrous life before God. You don't necessarily have to cut something out, but God is saying, bring me in there. Does that make sense? And as you begin to have fellowship with him, he'll tell you what to cut off. But don't let the thing stop you from being hired. Don't let the thing stop you from moving forward with God. So I guess the altar is open. We could do I don't know how you want to do it. I brought my gum up here just in case I had to lay hands on somebody. Real talk. And we can loose you right now from every mindset. We can loose you right now from every depravity of understanding, because revelation is light. When you get the revelation, okay, I'm going to do that. And now the fear is gone. Now the way, I can do this for the Lord and just be holy. Okay, there's a place for me. So if there's anybody like that, first of all, is everybody here saved? Is everybody here the world?
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that he has called us to be.